Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WVUR Boston, I'm Jackie Lydon, in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The Vatican has laid down the law. Jesus Christ did not intend for women to be priests. But in Austria, Australia, Ireland, in the United States, and more, priests and the faithful are openly defying the Pope's sternest warnings. They've signed open letters of protest and even calls to disobedience. And in defiance, they've been ordaining, if you will, women as priests. This hour, On Point, female priests and the challenge to the Vatican. You can join the conversation. Catholics, would you, have you, accepted a woman as your priest? Is the Vatican right to threaten those who do with excommunication? You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. We will hear in a moment from an ordained, illicitly ordained, female priest. But first, Father Roy Bourgeois joins us from Columbus, Georgia. He's a priest with the Maryknoll Order, and he's fought for years for what he believes is the right of women to serve as priests in the Catholic Church. He now faces excommunication for that. Father Roy, welcome.
It's a joy to be with you.
Not such a lonely battle. I believe that 150 priests have signed a letter of support for you in the face of this excommunication threat. Would you please tell us a little bit about what's going on and what's happened?
Yes, it's, you know, it gives me some hope. It's all about support and solidarity for, you know, for women who, like men, are being called by God to the priesthood. Let me just say I've been a priest now for 39 years. And years ago when we were ordained, we didn't question the church's teaching. It was always the so-called the tradition. But when I was a young man in the military, actually in Vietnam, I felt, you know, this desire. I felt God was calling me to serve my church as a Catholic priest. And being male, I was able to enter the seminary, join the Maryknoll Order, was ordained. And in my ministry over these past 39 years, I have met many devout Catholic women who, like me, you know, felt that call by God to serve our church as priest. And, of course, the question I ask, well, why wouldn't they be called to the priesthood by God? We do profess as Catholics that, you know, we are created, you know, equal by God, you know, of equal dignity and worth. As Catholic priests, we all say the same language, beginning with the Pope, that the call to be a priest is a gift and comes from God. And so I and fellow priests, you know, must ask the question, you know, who are we to reject God's call of women to the priesthood? I mean, who are we to say as men that our call is authentic, but your call as women is not? And what I came up with after a lot of prayer and reflection, you know, this teaching that excludes women from the priesthood defies faith and reason as I see it. It is a grave injustice against women, against our church, and of course a grave injustice against our loving God who created men and women equally and calls both to be priests.
Now, Father Roy, you have been an outspoken priest for much of your life with the Maryknoll Order. You have been very active in protest against U.S. policies in Central America in the past, for example. What is it now that made you decide, I believe you're just over 70 years of age, that you wanted to sort of force this issue for discussion now?
Well, Jackie, what happens when we see an injustice, you know, clearly as this, I do see very clearly as a grave injustice against women and against God, you know, silence is the voice of consent. And so in order to, I mean, just to sleep well at night, you know, to follow my conscience, which is very important, I had to break my silence and start calling, you know, uniting my voice with the many women in our church who are being called by God. And when I went, you know, broke my silence and attended the ordination of Janice Severdesinski in Lexington, Kentucky, one of the many women called by God to serve our church as priest, I attended her ordination. And I must say, the Vatican reacted very swiftly, very harshly. Within 90 days, I received the letter. This was 2 years ago, from the Vatican, giving me 30 days to recant. my belief in public statements that support the ordination of women, or I will be excommunicated automatically. I wrote the Vatican, of course, after a lot of thought and reflection, and simply said in conscience, I could not recant. What you're asking me, I stated, was to lie, to say, you're saying, telling me to lie, to say that I do not believe that God calls both men and women to the priesthood. This I cannot do. This would be against my conscience. Therefore, I cannot and will not recant. And 2 years went by. I heard no, and I got no response from the Vatican. And more recently, just 3 months ago, I did receive a letter from my Superior General of my Marino community under orders from the Vatican, stated that I must recant or I will be dismissed from my Marino community. Now, this would be very difficult for me. Marino has been my family for, you know, over 39 years now, seminary years, 44 years and all. And, at the same time, I must follow my conscience, which we as Catholics and as priests is very important, the sacredness of conscience. Our conscience urges us to do the right thing. And I did write to my Superior General of Marino saying what I said to the Vatican. Mm-hmm. I cannot, you know, go against my conscience.
Is the Marino order backing you? It's a very active order.
Yes, they are. I did not receive any more, I did not receive any other letter from Marino, but I must say it's serious. They have not taken back that first letter. I'm expecting, in the future, perhaps a second and final canonical warning that would, in fact, dismiss me from the priesthood. But again, I do believe in conscience, that God, and in the context of my faith, that God calls both men and women. And what they are asking me to do is not possible. They're saying that I must lie and say, basically, that God did not create men and women of equal worth and dignity. This I cannot do.
All right. In a few minutes, we will hear from a Catholic theologian and a woman, by the way, with close ties to the Vatican, who thinks Father Bourgeois is simply wrong. But at first, Eileen DeFranco joins us from Philadelphia. She's a member of the group Roman Catholic Women Priests. She was ordained illicitly but validly, she says, as a priest in 2006 and now serves as one of the pastors at a local Philadelphia community called St. Mary Magdalene. Welcome to the show.
It's wonderful to be here, Jackie.
So you have been following what Father Roy had to say. Tell us a little bit, first of all, about this group, Roman Catholic Women Priests. How many?
Well, Roman Catholic Women Priests is, I would say, stands on the shoulder of giants, the Women's Ordination Conference, which was formed about 35 years ago after Vatican II, because women fully expected that ordination would be forthcoming. When that didn't happen, people met and tried to decide what would be the best course of action. And so people decided in 2002 that the time was ripe and that we should just go ahead and ordain women. So the first group of women were ordained in on the Danube in 2002. And the first couple of ordinations were in Europe, and then they moved to the States. So they moved to Canada first in Gananoque, and then my ordination was the first in the United States in Pittsburgh in 2006. So now we're roughly 115, 120 worldwide. We have priests in South America, Canada, all through the United States, and Scotland, Switzerland, Germany, and Austria.
So when you say ordained, you say that this is valid. But how does that work that you are not threatened with the same sort of excommunication that Father Roy is?
Well, that's a very interesting question. Let me answer the first question about the valid ordination. Our first priest were ordained by a male priest, a male bishop who is in good standing. And he, we have kept his name secret because of the fear of repercussions. So he also ordained our first women bishops. One is a South African who was specifically ordained in order to help the movement grow in the English-speaking countries. So our ordination is valid because our ordination lies in apostolic succession. In terms of the excommunication, I think you could see a difference between the Vatican's treatment of men and women, both in the way Roy received his letter. He actually received a letter from the Vatican, I think he said 90 days after he attended the ordination. I was ordained in 2006, and I didn't hear anything from the Vatican, although Archbishop Bregali did submit my name to Rome shortly after my ordination for excommunication. But I did not hear anything, and I never received a letter. What happened was we were told, Roman Catholic women priests were told in the Vatican newspaper that we had excommunicated ourselves. So we never actually, I think, received the courtesy of any kind of a contact or a letter. It was just the comment in the Vatican newspaper that we had all just excommunicated ourselves by becoming ordained.
So technically, you just don't exist.
That's the feeling that I get, yes.
This is On Point. I'm Jackie Lydon, in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about the challenge to the Vatican's ban on women being ordained and serving as priests. My guests are Father Roy Bourgeois and Eileen DeFranco, both Catholics, both ordained as priests, both facing threats to their mortal souls from the Vatican. And joining us now from Seattle, Washington, is Pia De Saleni. When we invited the Archbishop of Denver to come on the program, he declined, but his office recommended we speak to Ms. De Saleni. She is a theologian, a consultant to the Vatican, and a corresponding member of the Pontifical Academy of St. Thomas Aquinas in Rome. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Oh, it's great to be on with you. Thank you.
So you have, I think, heard our two other guests. Could you please outline for us the Vatican's position on this, which obviously says that women cannot be priests in the Catholic Church?
Well, I think in order to understand the Church's position on this, you have to go to kind of a more metaphysical reality, and that is the relationship between Christ and the Church. And so from the perspective of Catholic theology, that relationship between Christ and the Church is spousal. It's husband and wife, bridegroom and bride. And the priest is seen as someone who is, in Latin we say, in persona Christi. So he's someone who's in the person of Christ. And it doesn't mean that he just stands in for Christ. It means that he really takes on the person of Christ. And that's why in the Mass he's able to transform the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. So for Catholics, that's not a symbol. That's an actual reality. And this relationship between Christ and the Church, again, is not a symbol. It's an actual reality. So when we talk about an all-male priesthood, it's because that man who becomes a priest is actually representing Christ in his fullness, which includes his maleness. Now, that said, I do think that have not done a great job within the Church of explaining the Church's teaching on an all-male priesthood. And I think that we also need to spend more time talking about the role of women in the Church. But John Paul II, I mean, that's exactly what he did. In 1994, he put out the letter Ordinatio Sacerdotalis, reviewing, again, the tradition, the history, and the reality that makes it impossible for women to be ordained priests. And then what was really fascinating is that from that point on, he really never came back to the topic. From that point on, he was talking about the role of women, the vocation of women, and specifically about Mary. And obviously, this is an academic venue, but the point is that he went on and he moved the discussion on, and I think that's really what we need to be doing, is to be exploring these issues and moving the discussion forward. And until we do that, I don't think either side or either perspective is going to be completely happy.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Saleni, what do you make of the fact you mentioned that Pope John Paul II hadn't really come back to this, that we seem to be seeing so many protests about this now? I'm looking at one right here, 12 Catholic women to be ordained. This is in Pittsburgh, July 31st. This is 5 years ago. Then there is a documentary out, Pink Smoke Over the Vatican, and this is a film that was made about a congregation a couple years ago seeking female ordination. Let's just listen to a very short clip from that.
It is with great joy that we present to you our newly ordained women priests.
It just seems that there is more and more pushback on this very idea.
Well, I think the pushback has probably become more vocal, and it's easier to have pushback. I mean, now with social media, it's just much easier to communicate and to have one's voice heard, as we know. But when you look at the overall numbers, I mean, 150 priests signing a letter in the United States, frankly, that's not even 1% of all the diocesan priests in the United States, not to mention all the religious priests in the United States. So that's less than 1%, and it's a very, very small minority. I think it's just easier for the minority to be heard these days. I don't think that it's a sweeping tide. And I would point to another reality, and that is that in many dioceses, they're actually experiencing more and more priestly vocations. So, for example, I just read recently that the Diocese of St. Paul, Minnesota, has 64 men studying for the priesthood. 34 entered last year. It's the highest number of priests they've had enter since, I think, sometime in the 1980s, maybe 1984. The Archdiocese of Seattle here, 30 men studying for the priesthood. The numbers are going up. And I think when you look you have to look at the larger picture and study all of the data that's out there. And when you look at the pontificate of John Paul II, for example, you know, during his pontificate, the number of Catholics increased 40% worldwide, but the number of vocations increased 70%. So that tells you something, that there is a response to the traditional teaching, not just a response of people saying, hey, this is a great idea, but men who are willing to give their lives in this way. And also, they're being supported by friends, by family, by their communities. So I think you have to look at that bigger picture, and those are much bigger numbers than, you know, the 150 priests that have signed a letter or 12 women that have been, quote unquote, ordained. I don't think you can compare that.
Yes, you can, Father Roy Bourgeois.
Yeah, I find it a little difficult to hear this, but you really, what we call the sensus fidelium, the sense of the faithful, the majority of Catholics, I mean, the New York Times, CBS, Associated Press, Gallup polls, I mean, and, you know, Catholic priest and the Pope is aware of this, the majority of Catholics in the United States and elsewhere do support the ordination of women. And so many people I speak with, and a growing number of clergy, who are very, very afraid. There's this fear in the church that's very alarming. But Catholics are more educated today, and they, like so many of us, including myself, would see at the root of our church's teaching, excluding women from the priesthood, is the issue of sexism. Sexism, like racism, as we know, is a sin. And no matter how hard we may try to justify this discrimination against women, in the end, it is not the way of God. It is the way of men. And I don't know how, and I hear this from so many women in my travels and Catholics, we cannot talk about sexism without addressing the issue of power. It saddens me as a Catholic priest to see many of my fellow priests who see in this culture of clericalism, really, you know, this fear of women, this threat, that somehow women pose a threat to our power. And I find just great meaning, you know, in the Holy Scriptures, of course, especially in Galatians 3:28. And I quote, "There is neither male nor female. In Christ Jesus, you are one." And one other very important document, the Second Vatican Council's document, the Church in the Modern World, says very clearly, every type of discrimination based on sex is to be overcome and eradicated as contrary to God's intent. And again, this teaching has nothing to do with God, but of men. And rooted in this church teaching is that issue, that sin of sexism.
Could I respond as well? This is Eileen.
Yes, Eileen.
I would like to respond to Pia's comment about the current understanding of the bridegroom metaphor. Up until the papacy of John Paul II, the reason that women were not ordained is because they were believed not to have the eminence of degree. This has been since the church adopted Roman law. Women were seen as incomplete men, unfit for ordination. And it wasn't until John Paul II in the Theology of the Body where we started discussing the whole metaphor of the bridegroom. And the fact of the matter is, the bridegroom is just one metaphor for God. There are many, many other metaphors. And I don't think anyone who wrote the scriptures, Ephesians, Colossians, ever had the idea that people would literalize or concretize a metaphor and decide that the priest was actually Jesus. Because during the consecration, the priest prays in the name of the community. He never actually prays the word of, says that he is Jesus. He's praying the words of institution and praying within a narrative. So he is praying for the community. So I really think that we need to put the whole metaphor of the bridegroom in perspective. It is the theology of one particular person, and I think it works for many people, but it does not work for everyone because, as Father Roy said, the sense of the faithful do not see that, and I don't think any amount of explanation would let make people see the priest as a bridegroom.
But of course, it is the Vatican's position. Let's let some listeners get in on the discussion here because we've got quite a few people who would
and
like
Jackie,
to.
And Jackie, I'd like to jump in at a point.
Fine, we'll definitely be come back to you, Pia. Please.
Thank you.
Mary is calling from Springfield, Pennsylvania. Welcome to On Point, Mary.
Thank you. I'm so glad that Father Bourgeois quoted from Galatians because that has been my mantra ever since the issue of women's ordination has come up. I have been blessed to be in the presence of both Father Roy and also to have Eileen DeFranco as the priest in our St. Mary Magdalene community. I believe both of those individuals have been very much in touch with the people, and their homilies really speak to the people. And so I hope and pray that this movement will continue.
All right,
and
thank
if
you.
If not, there will be certainly a very big breach in the Catholic population.
Thank you, Mary. Let's get a different point of view from Nicholas, who is calling from Dixon, Tennessee. Welcome to On Point, Nicholas.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, I'd just like to say that I heard the priest quoting Martin Luther from the 1500s when he nailed his 95 theses against indulgences. And he's right that he said that it's neither safe nor wise to go against my godly conscience. I cannot, will not recant. But he also said that unless I am persuaded by Scripture, I will not recant. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, 12 and 3, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but be in silence, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. And that's plain as day, and I just want to take the response off the air.
Okay. Thank you, Nicholas. Pia, perhaps you could jump in here. You know, maybe, correct me if I'm wrong here. I think Pia De Saloni, when I was doing some research for this show, did I read that at one point you thought, well, perhaps this is possible, but then through your own teachings, you decided, no, it isn't?
I think it was definitely a question in my mind, as it is a question for many of the faithful. But the more that I studied the issue and really reflected on it and studied the tradition of it and came to better understand exactly what the church sees, I think that the issue actually railroads the very question of the dignity of women and questions of sexism. I think that we end up talking about women and the equality of women in the context of a vocation that very few men are even called to. And I think that we're missing a bigger picture. There's a much broader, bigger discussion to have about women and the role of women in the church. And, you know, Father Roy talked about that God doesn't believe in sexism. Well, of course, but I also think that I don't think that reserving the priesthood to men is sexist. And if we look at the Gospels, we look at what Jesus did and said, we see that just before the Last Supper, he is with the community of Christians there. I mean, his mother is there. And presumably for 30 years, if not 33 years, 32 years, his mother's been preparing the Passover feast. And on this one occasion, he basically gives the men women's work. He tells the men to go and make the preparations for the feast. It is a striking, striking instruction, because he's telling them, in essence, to go and do women's work. And he makes it clear, I mean, that he had specifically called those men. And I think you know, theologians since the beginning of the church have acknowledged that, you know, that's not a question of, it's not a judgment of the character of those men, because some of the women that were around clearly might have been smarter, might have been better people. It's a different thing. And so it goes back to this reality. And I would take point with Eileen on this. It's not a metaphor of Christ's relationships with the church. It's a reality. And that is what the church teaches. And the church is taught from the very beginning the dignity and equality of women. That's why it's the same rite of initiation for men and women, baptism. The church is the first to educate women, you know, en masse rather than just one-on-one. The church is the first to say as an institution that, oh my gosh, maybe women have a right in determining who they should marry and whether they should marry. The church is the first to, I mean, in essence, grant what we call community property laws. Our idea of community property laws go back to canon law. So The church from the beginning has recognized the fundamental equality of men and women. That does not mean that men and women are the same. And I think that we're getting caught up in and I think it's a very American notion that if we're equal, we're the same. And at the end of the day, you can have things that are equal or concepts that are equal or people who are equal and who are different. And I think we need to begin to explore that difference in a more constructive way. And
Let me ask you about that. When you talk about exploring differences, the church's position has been pretty consistent on this. And given the, I would say that it's coming from different countries around the world from us. We mentioned Australia, Austria, Ireland here. The church has certainly reversed itself historically on other issues in the past. It is no longer the church of medieval times or the church of the times during the Civil War supporting slavery. Do you think there's going to be any reinterpretation?
The church never supported slavery. I mean, the church never supported slavery. If you want to get into that conversation, it's probably a separate show. But the church has never reversed itself doctrinally.
So you don't think the church could ever reverse itself on this issue, ever?
The church doesn't reverse itself doctrinally. I mean, give me one example of where the church has changed doctrine.
All right. Okay. We will be coming back to this. We are talking about the issue of female ordination in the Catholic Church, which, of course, the Holy See says is absolutely impermissible by papal edict, by church tradition. I'm Jackie Lydon, in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. This is On Point. I'm Jackie Lydon, in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about ordaining women as priests in the Catholic Church, the Vatican's bitter opposition to the idea, and the increasingly bold pushback from priests around this country and overseas. My guests this hour are Pia De Saleni, a consultant to the Vatican, Father Roy Bourgeois, a priest for 39 years with the Maryknoll Order, and Eileen DeFranco, who was ordained illicitly in 2006 and is a member of the group Roman Catholic Women Priests. Let's take some calls now because we do have a lot. Dan is calling from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Welcome to On Point, Dan.
Hi, Jackie. I just wanted to make the point that you know, the whole point, the whole part of being a Roman Catholic is subjugation to the Vatican and subjugation to what they say, to canon law and to what the Pope decrees as law. And to go against that, to become ordained as a woman priest is basically protesting the beliefs of Roman Catholicism. You're becoming a Protestant by doing that. I don't argue that women should be held in high regard in the Catholic Church. I don't necessarily think it's an issue of sexism. I mean, you've got Mary, you've got the Virgin Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and she's obviously held in very high regard in the Catholic Church to the point where many people believe we worship her, which is also false. But it's not necessarily an issue of sexism, I don't believe.
All right. So you say go with church teachings, go with church leadership.
Exactly. That's just a whole part of Roman Catholicism is following the Holy See.
Thank you, Dan. Let's just take a few calls here because, as I said, we do have so many callers here. Bernadette is calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts. You're on Point, Bernadette. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I want to make two points about church history. The first is in response to Pia de Solenni's argument on slavery. I want to quote a statement of the Vatican from June 20th, 1866. Slavery itself, considered as such in its essential nature, is not at all contrary to the natural and divine law, and there can be several just titles of slavery.
Well, Bernadette, I do appreciate that you're looking at history, but as Pia did rightly point out, we're trying to talk today about female priests. Are you saying that there are historical precedents for female priests?
I am also saying that there are historical precedents. Yes, I just wanted to point that her point about slavery and the change in slavery is incorrect. But with respect to the historical precedents, the Vatican claims that there were no female apostles in the early church, but Paul's letter to the Romans 16:7 mentions a woman apostle named Junia. Women such as Mary Magdalene were among Jesus' closest disciples. Women in the early church also functioned as bishops, elders, and deacons. Thus, the Vatican's claim that women have never functioned as official church leaders is simply historically wrong.
All right. Thank you very much. And now Don is calling from Boston, Massachusetts. Don, hello. Welcome to On Point.
Hi. I was just wondering if this discussion of allowing women into the priesthood has also included discussions about letting priests marry and or having children.
I don't think we've gotten to that point yet, but I will say that this is definitely an issue that people have strong opinions about. Here's a couple of comments from our website. Jessica, I'm a woman of the Catholic faith, and from time to time I felt a pull towards service to the church to become a priest or a deacon, but have decided against it because it's not sanctioned. And someone else saying, does the church even realize there's a shortage of priests? I think that Eileen and Father Roy, what do you say in terms of what you are seeing in parishes, congregations, discussion groups, not just in America, but why is this being reexamined to the degree that it is? Because certainly it elicits a volume of opinion.
Let me say, in my travels as a priest throughout the country, wherever I go, and I travel a lot, I was just in New Orleans, for example. There in New Orleans in the diocese last year, 30 Catholic churches have shut down. The main reason, a shortage of vocations, a shortage of priests. In Cleveland, over 50. I was just in Pittsburgh, church closings there, wherever I go. And a lot of Catholics, you know, are saying, what's going on here? Why won't we accept a married priesthood? Why won't we accept women who are being called by God to serve these churches rather than closing them down? And what I also hear, and it hurts to sort of address this issue, but the sexual scandal in the church, many Catholics have told me personally, and I believe this to be true, if we did in fact have women priests, we would not have had the silence and the cover-ups that we had throughout the country during the abuse scandal. For example, in the United States alone, nearly 5,000 Catholic priests have sexually abused more than 12,000 children. Many bishops aware of this abuse, these crimes against children, remain silent. These priests and the bishops were not excommunicated. Yet the many women being called by God to serve our church as priests, and the priests who support them in their call, you know, are being excommunicated. And I want to just say, you know, having an all-male clergy implies that men are worthy to be priests and women are not. This simply, again, our church's teaching, especially in light of not only, you know, our church history, but this scandal, sexual abuse scandal that has so rocked our church. Our church's teaching cannot stand up to scrutiny.
Mm. I would also like to say, if I may, that when one looks at the definition of church, what is church? Well, church is a community that was founded by Jesus, and it's founded not on the Pope necessarily, although that's one part of it, but it's founded on the gospel, which people were told to go forth and preach at the end of Matthew. Both men and women were told to go forth and preach the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is that you shall love God and you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and that your sins are forgiven. So that is the message of Jesus, and those are the words that we acknowledge as the Word of God when we are at Mass. We don't acknowledge the Catechism or different pronouncements from the Pope. We say, this is the Word of God, that we shall love one another. So one must ask, if we live in a community where we're supposed to love one another, then why is there this emphasis on, obviously there's always a part, a room for obedience, but for people who are not doing exactly as what those in authority think they should be doing, why is there this movement towards excommunication and persecution and exclusion when we are really supposed to be following the gospel? So I think that, you know, one of the lines that is said over and over again is that the church is not a democracy. Well, then I think the question needs to be asked, then, what is it? And what does it do? And what should it do for people?
Pia De Selena, I would like to ask you a question that came in on our website about Anglican-turned-Catholic married clergy, something I've seen Eastern Rite Catholics, Chaldeans, for example, Ukrainians, Maronites, while they recognize papal primacy, are sometimes allowed to be married, are they not?
That's correct, right. Celibacy is not, I would say, is not essential for priesthood. That is the tradition of the Latin Church. And we are seeing some changes, again, with, as you mentioned, married Anglican clergy who are coming into the Catholic Church and adding to their formation and becoming active Catholic priests. But the tradition in the Latin Church is celibacy, and there are spiritual reasons for that and practical reasons for it. I don't know if you want to get into all of that here in this show, but the vow of celibacy is not essential to the priesthood.
Well, I guess what I was curious about is I was trying to look at how engaged the Vatican is with this dynamic. And what I was trying to address before was different, you know, historical perspectives shift. Here is a situation in which the church is accommodating practice. And what I was wondering is if there could be any sort of further shift.
If you mean a shift from, I mean, nothing's changed. You're still talking about an all-male priesthood, so nothing's changed there. I'm not sure what you mean by
no,
a shift.
No, I think what I said, well, I do think that something's changed in the sense that we have certainly not seen the number of protests, the number of priests willing to risk excommunication, the diverse points around the world. I think in Austria, 300 priests signed a letter or petition of civil disobedience. In Australia, a priest was excommunicated for supporting women priests. So certainly, I think that there has been a lot more protest about this. Women priests founded in 2006. The church has shifted position on things that it had previously considered. And you seem to be saying, well, it's not going to on this.
I can address that.
The church has not shifted position on anything doctrinal. And I would say, too, again, if you want to talk about the sense of the faithful, I would say look at what is happening. And that is that in diocese and religious orders that are teaching what we're referring to as tradition on this show, they are booming. There's no shortage of vocations in those areas. So it might have something to do more with what is a particular religious order or what is a particular diocese putting forth as a vocation. When you present the tradition, it gets people, it gets numbers. And I would say look to the World Youth Days that happen around that happened every 2 years. We have one coming up in Madrid now, and it's, you know, 1 million to 2 million young people responding to the tradition. So, yes, I think there's a vocal minority. I think because of the means of communication, we're able to hear more about them. But I think you have to, again, look at the larger picture and look at the overall numbers and the overall response. And you see, if you want to look to the sense of the faithful, you see a tremendous positive response to tradition.
All right, thank you.
I can address that, Jackie.
Yes, Father Roy. I'm curious, Father Roy, a vocal minority, I'd like you to consider that. But also, what would possible excommunication mean to you after?
Well, what it says is, I do believe if I am excommunicated by the Vatican, I will be in good standing with my God. You know, the core of our faith, we follow God. You know, the Pope, bishops, clergy, we are men, we're mortal. You know, and I would like to see more humility in our church, of course. And I hear so much, and I see this at work, you know, this top-down model, more concerned about power. power and privileges rather than about serving the poor. But very important in this discussion, it really saddens me and does anger me to be told, I mean, what's coming out of the Vatican to priests and bishops, that we cannot even discuss the ordination of women. I mean, this is ludicrous. We are adults. We are not children. And what I say to fellow priests, we have a responsibility as adults to look at our teaching, you know, with critical eyes. And so many are saying the teaching is wrong. We have to change it. But what hurts so much is to see the fear in grown men. When I give talks on women's ordination, you know, priests won't, many of them won't come to the public talk. I have to meet with them separately behind closed doors. They're so afraid they're going to get fired, lose their pension. And our church should be rooted in love and not fear. What I'm saying is that we as adults must discuss these issues openly without being kicked out, discriminated, you know, without being excommunicated. Now, what's very important, I believe, is to keep debating and discussing this issue. No one has a monopoly of the truth, including the Vatican. And to enhance, to further this discussion, I think it's important to have some good info. This wonderful organization, Call to Action Addressing Justice Issues, their website, cta-usa.org.
Right.
Very important, along with the website, womensordination.org, to help us and to further this very important discussion on gender equality in our church.
All right, let's just try to take, we just got 3.5 minutes left, a couple more calls from callers. I'll take them in a row. Anne is calling from New York City. Welcome to On Point, Anne.
Thank you. Hello. I'm calling. First, I want to say what an excellent discussion you're having today. I participated in a peaceful vigil at the Maryknoll headquarters in June on their 100th anniversary. And what we were really struck by was the overwhelming support from the Maryknoll community for Roy and for women's ordination. So it's really, as Roy said earlier, the majority of Catholics are in favor of this. And it's obvious that the church would benefit from change.
All right. Thank you, Anne, for that point. Mark is calling from Hilton Head, South Carolina. Hello, Mark.
Yes, hello, everyone, and thank you for taking my call. I was raised Catholic in Maine. My mother converted to Catholicism in order to marry my father. I will not tell you my personal history, but I am Catholic no longer. I've struggled with my thoughts and feelings around the church for years, and I've been listening very carefully to your discussion. The distillation for me becomes, because this has to be quick, the question becomes, the logic becomes, does the church really say that God would never call a woman to the priesthood? That seems to be the defining question. Is the church willing to say that? Are we all willing to define women? The church is still seeking to define a woman's role. I do not believe that God would never call a woman to the priesthood. How can the church really be saying that?
All right. Thank you very much, Mark. And Eileen DeFranco, do you want to close us out very quickly here?
Yes. I think one of the main reasons why this discussion continues to grow is because the sense of the faithful, as Roy said, has never received the message that women cannot be priests, as our caller just said. Who could believe that God would never, ever call a woman to be a priest when I'm sitting here telling you that God did call me to be a priest? Without women priests, to use a metaphor that was used by Sister Joan Chittister, the church sees with one eye and hears with one ear and walks with one leg. There is just, if we are the body of Christ, we are the body of Christ altogether. We all have different ministries. We are called to different ministries. And by denying people the opportunity to work in the ministry that God wishes them to do does not further the mission of the church.
All right. Thank you very much. Eileen DeFranco joined us from Philadelphia. She's a member of the Roman Catholic Women Priests Group. And Father Roy Bourgeois joined us from Columbus, Georgia. He's a priest for 39 years at the Maryknoll Order and is threatened with excommunication. Pia De Seleni joined us from Seattle, Washington. She's a commentator and consultant for the Catholic Church and currently a consultant for the Pontifical Council. Thank you very, very much, everyone. You can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org, and you can follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. I'm Jackie Leiden, in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.